scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left!
Off the glass, the left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by all. Aguilla's rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Okay, happy Tuesday, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. Wes Gilbertson of Post Media, Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts on this Tuesday, April 16th. Tuesday is game 81. Of the regular season for the Flames in game 41 of 41 on the road. Calgary's final road game of the regular season. Six more periods to go for the Flames this season. And with Tuesday's final road game, Jacob Markstrom getting the start. It's going to be Markstrom versus Demko. Thatcher Demko returns for Vancouver as they try to clinch the division on Tuesday night. Demko against his old mentor, Markstrom. And Wes, I think there's a, first of all, hello, Wes.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Good, man. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, awesome. You as well.
See, snow on the ground.
Oh, I was just delighted.
Warms
actually,
my heart.
I found out from you on Instagram.
Yeah.
I was still in bed this morning, taking a look at my phone, and saw it had snowed. So thanks a ton.
Yeah.
Thanks a bajillion.
Forewarning.
Yeah,
is what
really.
That was.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
I think there's a decent chance that Jacob Markstrom is playing his final game of the season on Tuesday night. I think there's a decent chance Dustin Wolf gets the start Thursday against San Jose to wrap up the regular season. And so if that indeed is the case, the next question becomes, I think, pretty obvious. Text line, would love to hear you chime in on this at 960-960. Is this Jacob's final start as a member of the Calgary Flames? And I know that that is a loaded question in many ways, but I think it's a question that many Flames fans are asking going into this game against the Canucks, and many have been asking for quite some time in a slightly different way, as in, is this the final stretch of Jacob Markstrom's time as a member of the Calgary Flames? What's your gut say? Just quickly, and then we'll get a little bit more into it. But what's your gut say? I'm curious what the text line has to say at 960-960. But Wes, what about you? What just if I've got you up against the wall saying, Jacob Markstrom, final start with the Flames, yes or no, what do you say?
Oh, I wasn't ready to be put on the spot like this. I'm gonna go no.
Okay.
And I keep going back to a slightly different twist on the question you're asking, which is maybe more of, should this be Jacob Markstrom's last start as a Calgary Flame? And so I guess that's where I get to the answer of no. I'm not sure how much is going to change from Craig Conroy's viewpoint, in that he's still going to need somebody to pay the price that he thinks his number one goaltender is worth.
And which is fair.
Absolutely fair. And, you know, I guess where no becomes yes in a hurry is if Jacob Markstrom tells you on Friday, yeah, I want that to have been my last start as a Calgary Flame. This isn't working here. Still ticked off about how the trade deadline or the run-up to the trade deadline played out. I know that your future at the position is Dustin Wolf, and I think it would be best if you found me a different place to play next summer. And if that's the case, then my answer being no changes in a hurry. Then
right.
If Jacob Markstrom doesn't want to be here, then this absolutely has to be his final start or potentially Thursday. But I have the same hunch as you that we're going to see Dustin Wolf that night. But, you know, as I look around the league at who might have cap space, who might have goaltending issues, and who might fit both descriptions, I'm not sure that someone's going to step up and meet that asking price for Jacob Markstrom. And so I'll get, in a few minutes more into why I don't think it's a bad idea to keep Jacob Markstrom. But what's your gut. Do you think tonight is perhaps the last time we see Jacob in a Flames uniform?
My gut says yeah. I think. I mean, if he'll be in a uniform Thursday as well. But
fair.
But I think I do think this is the last start. You know, my gut says this is the last start. Or I lean towards this being his last start as a member of the Calgary Flames. And I'll tell you why in a second. But I'll play this for you first. This was Monday after practice for the Flames and just gives you an idea as to where Jacob's mindset is right now. I mean, it's very clear. I took a stab at kind of a bigger picture question. Kind of you took a stab at a bigger picture question right after me. And in both cases, Jacob wasn't biting on any of it. Not even talking about like his future with the Flames.
Yeah.
Just kind of questions that aren't about, hey, you know, how
important is game 81?
Exactly. How big is this next game? So this was Jacob Markstrom. Just gives you an idea as to where his mindset is going into Tuesday night.
Do you still get fired up to go back into Vancouver if you end up being the guy tomorrow night? Is that still something, especially down the stretch, that can motivate you a little bit?
I mean, I think I get fired up every time, you know, you play a hockey game. It doesn't really matter who it is. And, you know, motivation-wise, it's obviously a privilege to play in this league and to play in front of, you know, thousands of fans and, you know, people watching at home. So I think, you know, I don't necessarily need, you know, to search or find more things to be fired up about. It's, you know, it's a privilege, and I'm fired up every time I play a game.
What are the feelings like this week, knowing there's just a couple of games left for this group? Like, what's kind of the feeling like as you guys get near the end?
I think, you know, right now it's still, you know, in-season mentality, and, you know, there's, you know, practices and there's games to be played, and, you know, everybody's competitive and they want to win the last few games here, and I think once the season ends, that's when you start thinking about other stuff.
I too am just focused on the practices. Just for the record.
Wes is a big practice guy. Good practice habits. Look, fair enough on Jacob. We poke fun, but fair enough. I respect it. Yeah. I really do. And I think that he's going out of his way to shoot down any type of question that isn't about how big is this next game. And, you know, I ask him about, do you still get fired up going into Vancouver? I don't need to be fired up about going to Vancouver. I'm fired up every time I play. You ask him about, you know, you're winding down the year. You're not going to the playoffs. How's that feel? Well, we're still in game. And I respect it because I think it is part of what goes into Jacob's mindset of being the guy that he is. So I respect it, trying to keep his feet on the ground, trying to keep his focus on the task at hand. And I'm sure he would love to go into Vancouver and beat the Canucks because, first of all, it's his former team. Second of all, honestly, he hasn't had a lot of success since coming out of the injury break he had. Like, since coming back last month, it has not been a great run for him. So I'm sure he'd love to finish off the season in strong fashion for himself personally. But let's get into it. Is this Jacob Markstrom's final start as a member of the Flames? And Wes, you led it off by saying, no, you don't think it is. And here's and for very similar reasons, here's why I think this is the final game or the final start for Jacob as a member of the Flames, or why my gut says that. And look, things can change. There's always that caveat that, you know, a conversation on Friday at locker cleanout day and exit interview day, you know, one conversation can change everything. But I think the main thing that leads me to believe that this might be going in the direction of a new team for next year is the guy we're talking about. I have always appreciated how singularly focused Jacob is on winning and winning only, and good performances don't mean a thing if it doesn't end up in a win, and a bad performance is fine if it does end up in a win. And I think that we're talking about a guy who is kind of tired of not competing for Stanley Cups. And I think that we're talking about a guy who is only driven by that at this stage of his career. He's 34 years old. He's got 2 years left on his contract, and there's no guarantees at the end of this contract where he's going to be and how that's going to play itself out. And I think that we're talking about a guy who looks at the situation and says, as much as I am happy with my decision to sign here in Calgary, I don't see this team being ready to compete for Stanley Cups in the final 2 years of my contract. And so while I never see Jacob being the type of guy with as good a teammate as he is, I don't ever see him going into Craig Conroy's office, flipping two birds and saying, get me the hell out of here. I've played my last game as a member of the Flames.
You didn't have to flip the birds at me.
Well,
there,
no, that was very radio.
Yeah. That
very
felt that, you know what, that I felt like that might've been aimed at me.
I'm not going to confirm or deny, but I do think that he's a very honest, hard on his sleeve type guy.
Sure.
And if he's sitting there with Craig Conroy and Craig says, Jacob, how do you see us going forward? How do you see yourself fitting in with us going forward? What are your feelings? Which feels like a pretty obvious question, an important question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's out of the question that Jacob responds with, yeah, look, I've loved it here, and I just want to have a better opportunity to win. Similar to the conversation that Craig and Chris Tanev have had going into the trade deadline. And because of that, it's why I kind of feel like if you're the Flames, you're Craig Conroy, you say to yourself, yeah, okay, Jacob was honest with me. I'm going to try to make that happen.
And other than the double barrels pointed my direction, that there's been nothing that you just ran through that I disagree with. I do believe that Jacob Markstrom's preference would be to have a chance to play for a playoff contender over the potential final seasons of certainly his NHL prime. You know, we're talking about a guy who's 34 years old. I'm not sure what what's left in the tank at the end of this contract, how many more contracts he's going to have, and whether those are as a go-to guy. And so I don't doubt that Jacob wants to maximize that window. I don't doubt that he wants to play for a contender. And yet the difference between Jacob and Chris Tanev, obviously, is what's left on the contract.
Yes.
And so the reason that I'm not sure that either tonight or Thursday is the last we see of Jacob Markstrom in the Flames crease is I just don't know that Craig Conroy is going to get his asking price. I know it's difficult to move guys with term remaining on their salary, and it's not a ton of term. It's 2 years at $6 million per, but it seems like if a team's taking any salary, they want essentially to be getting it for free. That, like, that's what they're paying, and that is not going to work in the case of Jacob Markstrom. You know, this idea that Craig Conroy is going to show up at the draft and the New Jersey Devils are going to offer him what would be their first-round pick, and that's going to be, what, 13 or 14 overall at this point?
Yeah, yeah.
No bleeping chance is that going to happen. And so, at least not from my vantage point. And so that's the only reason I wonder if there is a fit. Now, what Jacob Markstrom can do to, I guess, reciprocate if he tells Craig Conroy, I'd like to go play for a contender, then you better give a fairly substantial list of teams that you'd be willing to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Jacob Markstrom, with a complete no-move clause, has to approve any sort of deal out there, if he just says, yeah, I'd go to these three places, I just don't think it could happen.
Yeah, and I mean,
can I say one more thing?
Yeah, of course.
This can all change with a rotten performance from a goaltender in the playoffs that an organization then sits and goes, you know what? Our net mining situation just cost us a chance at the Stanley Cup. That could really change everything for me, but I just don't know that Craig Conroy, who rightfully has a high asking price in mind for Jacob Markstrom, is going to find a suitable offer this summer.
And while I hear where you're coming from, and a text comes in and says, don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but what player doesn't want to play for a playoff team or contender? Pat, why do you think he should be moved? That's a very fair question. Here is why. Because from a Flame standpoint, there are a few reasons why I think if it goes the way that we're talking about, and Jacob does intimate very candidly that he would like to be on a team that is closer to winning. And there's a few reasons why it then makes the most sense for the Flames to actively try to make that happen. First of all, I mean, really important player for your organization, and doing right by him, I think, is something that always makes an organization look good. So that would be number one. But that is not the main reason for me. Like, take that stuff out of it. Take any of the, you know, the humanity, touchy-feely stuff away for a second, and just looking strictly business, I think you have the top goaltending trade piece on the market in your backyard. You've mm-hmm. got him in Jacob Markstrom.
Totally agree.
And I do think that there is a strong possibility that whether it's Toronto or Carolina or another team that looks and says, hey, we have legitimate Stanley Cup aspirations, and our Stanley Cup aspirations were spoiled because we got junk goaltending in the playoffs. All of a sudden, that opens up more opportunity and more places that theoretically and realistically Jacob would wave to go to. So you've now got a trade chip with potentially more options and not just New Jersey. And by the way, I think New Jersey is still absolutely in the conversation. But now if you have one or two other spots, two or three other spots that are actually serious contenders or seriously interested in the player, well, now you've got the option to start asking for more and playing teams off of one another. And finally, there's also motivation for the Flames here. They need to make sure Dustin Wolf is in the NHL next year. And while trading Dan Vladar is an easy way to make sure that happens and have Dustin and Jacob be a tandem next year, sure, this also guarantees it. And any move involving goaltending right now, I think, has got to be made with an eye to Dustin Wolf's future. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing now for me when it comes to the future of this organization at the position. And so because of that, and I'm sure this plays into why you think it's a really good thing for Jacob to stay, which makes a lot of sense, but I think all of those things together are why it would make sense for the Flames. Because the texter's right.
Yeah.
You know, any player could go in and be like, well, yeah, you know what, Craig, I'd rather be on a contender, move me. Or if you could move me, you've got a contract and you signed a contract with the Calgary Flames. That is where you are for now. I just feel like Jacob's a little bit more unique in that here's a guy that if he truly intimates he'd like to be somewhere with a better chance to win, I think you've got more of an option to make that happen and get a good return.
Yeah, and I just want to make sure that I'm making myself clear, because I don't want someone to run over to the fourth green somewhere this summer and tell me I'm out of my mind for saying they shouldn't trade Jacob Markstrom. I absolutely think it's prudent for the Calgary Flames to dangle him on the market and find out what the offers look like. My answer to, is this Jacob Markstrom's last start or second last start in a Flames uniform, is more based on the fact that I just don't know that they're going to find someone to hit that price. I don't know that they're going to get what they think is fair value for that player this summer. Now, as you mentioned, a part of my reasoning for certainly being comfortable with keeping Jacob Markstrom is the whole Dustin Wolf factor. And
by the way, I do not see really a downside in Jacob staying. I don't.
Yeah.
If my read on this is off and Jacob goes to Craig on Friday and they have a conversation and Jacob says, Craig, I'm in. Like, I want to be here beyond my 2 years. I want to mentor Dustin. I think that, you know, if I'm on, we can be a whole lot better next year than people give us credit for. Like, if that's what you're hearing from Jacob, well, then shut it the hell down. And
right.
And there's no but I guess because of, I think Jacob's a very, very savvy, smart, observant, aware human being, I think that there's a decent chance that he looks at other places and says, there are better opportunities, better fits, better situations for me to win it.
Sure. And there will be. But if you want, I guess, the flip side of the equation, if you're wondering why Craig Conroy might try and patch things up this summer with Jacob Markstrom, if you're looking for you know, a good reason why the Calgary Flames might entertain bringing Jacob Markstrom back. Turn on Sportsnet at 8 p.m. tonight and look at the guy standing in the home crease at Rogers Arena, Thatcher Demko, who returns tonight for the Vancouver Canucks and has said multiple times in the past, and you talk to those around the Canucks organization and you'll hear the same. Jacob Markstrom was important in the development of Thatcher Demko.
Yep.
Absolutely no question. And so the idea that you could potentially pair Jacob Markstrom and Dustin Wolf. Sorry, Dan Vladar. I know I've been trading you on this station for a year and a half now. The fact or the possibility of pairing those two next season and having your goalie of the future learn from Jacob Markstrom, I just think there's a ton of potential value there. I think you could get maybe 45 starts for one, maybe 35 for another, give or take, and it could be a real valuable internship opportunity for Dustin Wolf. And I say that to sort of hammer home the point that it makes no sense to give Jacob Markstrom away. If you get a slam dunk offer for your starting goalie this summer, absolutely you should entertain it, and quite frankly, you should do it. But if you're trading him to get him out of town, it makes no sense. He can have too much value to you here as a backbone for a team that doesn't want to bottom out, and more than anything, as a mentor for Dustin Wolf.
And I think you and I are kind of on the same page in terms of our read on it.
Yeah.
I guess the only area that you and I really differ is whether or not the deal that makes sense would be on the table somewhere this summer. Whereas
right.
you're a little skeptical to predict on
April 16th, right?
Yeah. For sure it is. And I understand why you're like, I don't know. I don't know if that would be like, because you're right. I am fully on board. Giving him away, trading him just for the sake of trading him, that makes no sense. You still have to get value for him. Mm-hmm. Hell, it's the exact same reason why I'm skeptical. If the exact same scenario played itself out, and I'll say this quickly because I want to leave room for some texts, some great texts in there. But if the exact same scenario were to play itself out with Nazem Kadri, and number 91 talks to Craig Conroy, says the same things. I want to be on a team that is closer to winning next year. This is not where I see myself. Okay, that's a little different than this conversation.
Should it
because
be, though?
The problem is, or the conversation's the same, but my answer's a little bit different because I then become more on your side. I don't think with 5 years and $35 million for a 33-year-old player,
right,
you're going to get the value for Nazem Kadri where it makes sense to trade your MVP this season, mm-hmm, right? I don't, like, you're not getting what Nazem Kadri's worth, or I'm skeptical anyway that you're getting what Kadri should be worth or what he's worth to the Flames right now on the open market, which, so then are you trading him for a song if just because he wants to go play and be more competitive, to that texter's point earlier?
Right.
Whereas with Markstrom, because there's only 2 years left and because I think that he is the number one trade chip at his position in the offseason, I'm a little less skeptical that deal could be there.
Listen, you go to the NHLPA summit and ask a room of 700 guys who wants to be on a team that's retooling. Hey, boys, raise your hands if you want to be on a team that's retooling. Other than the maybe fringe guys who wouldn't be in the league if they weren't on a retooling team, or maybe the, you know, young guys who know the opportunities there. Whatever the case, you're not going to get a whole ton of hands in the air, right? Our buddy Eric Francis had a great conversation with Mackenzie Weegar where he talked about, yeah, I'm signed here and I'm going to see this through. Does Mackenzie Weegar, you know, is he doing backflips about going through a retool? Probably not, but he's going to see it through, and good on him. You're not going to find a ton of guys saying, sign me up for a retool, but Craig Conroy can't let every guy come into his office and say, yeah, retool's not really for me.
And then be like, cool, okay, you're out of here.
I'll take whatever I can get for you then. And that's where it's going to sound like you and I are not on the same page because we started with a no answer and a yes answer, but that's where there's so much overlap in,
for sure,
in what we're saying. Should the Flames consider a trade? Yeah. Should they give them away for cheap? Should they, you know, not get the right return, whether that's just for the player, for eating contract, whatever that looks like? Like, it better be a good deal, because you're trading a guy who still has a ton of value to your team. This is not addition by subtraction, that's for sure.
I think the only place that we differ is whether or not that good deal
might be out there.
Or the confidence level we have that that good deal might be out there.
Hey, and listen, you know, if Toronto gets swept in four and Samsonov really struggles, or you name the scenario, right? That there, you mentioned Carolina, right? If Freddie Anderson doesn't look like a guy who can carry the mail, if they decide Kochkov is not ready, like there's certainly a chance that we could be sitting here at the end of June talking about five teams that make sense for Jacob Markstrom.
100%.
And in that case, you might get the deal that makes sense. That's the part I'm skeptical about. I don't know that, you know, if Tom Fitzgerald thought that Craig Conroy was trying to extort him in the last offer for Jacob Markstrom, I just don't know that the Flames GM, who for good reason has a high demand here, I just don't know if he's going to get more value out there to sort of override what it would mean to have Jacob here.
Let's get to as many texts as we can here at 960-960. Starting with Kevin on the Deerfoot. Markstrom will play his last game Tuesday. It's bittersweet. He's been an amazing addition to this team. We'll miss him, but the return will be tremendous. Val says, why would you trade Markstrom? Wolf hasn't proven anything. I think we did a pretty good idea of answering that question. This says from Murray in Ranchlands, Markstrom will be here next year. I wonder about Kadri, though. This says from Ray in Calgary, I hope it isn't Markstrom's final game. In my opinion, good goaltending is the backbone of a quick retool or rebuild. I don't think the Flames are in for 3 or a 4 year down trend. I believe a few more solid defensemen and some small tinkering with the forward lines, and they can be competitive again sooner rather than later. Markstrom is a known commodity. Our boy Dylan and Revy, I think it's Markstrom's last start as a Flame. I also think Vladar has played his last game as a Flame. Prediction time. Markstrom gets traded for a package that includes a tandem goalie, think Allen or someone of that sort, and Vladar gets claimed on waivers to start next year. Also, don't get your hopes up, Flames fans. I don't think they're getting New Jersey's first-round pick for him. Maybe a first-rounder, but not New Jersey's. This from Cowtown Bob. The Flames are going to get an offer they can't refuse this summer for Markstrom. There will be a good team suffering a premature elimination in the playoffs this spring due to poor goaltending. They'll offer the Flames what they want. Andy in Cochrane says, Markstrom hasn't said he wants out, but it's in the back of his mind. My question is, who's going to be mentoring Wolf? I don't really trust Vladar as being goalie one, but like in any case, repetition is a good way on building confidence, and I'm sure if given the opportunity to Vladar, he may strive towards being successful. I'm excited to see who Conroy will get in place of Markstrom. What I'm wondering about, or something that I think is a very feasible scenario, is that both Markstrom and Vladar are not here next year, that it's Wolf and somebody else. Wolf and, again, not this guy specifically, but Wolf and somebody like Cam Talbot. Or, as Dylan said, maybe it's Jake Allen. Maybe Allen's the guy that is part of a deal that comes back for Markstrom, and now you've got Allen and Wolf as a tandem. You've got a veteran who can take 40 to 50 games, and then that gives a little bit, still a, it's not a Jacob Markstrom safety net for Dustin Wolf, but it's still a veteran safety net and somebody that can help bring him along.
Yeah, I could certainly see that. The only maybe wrinkle for me being, how long has Dan Vladar been dealing with this hip injury? You know, I know that it was some sort of injury, some sort of injury that prevented him from accepting an invitation to World Championships a year ago. So how long has Dan Vladar's now surgically repaired hip been bothering him? And do the Calgary Flames think that that's the reason that in the past two seasons he has not had the numbers of a guy who could potentially be a number one goalie? Do you think that Dan Vladar has untapped potential now that he's healthy? That's the only thing that makes me kind of hem and haw a little bit when it comes to potentially having both guys gone. But was it Dylan who mentioned, like, yeah, New Jersey might want you to take Jake Allen back? Or, yeah, that's out there, but they better be paying for it.
This says from Matt and Cochran, can Fitzgerald risk not getting his guy between the pipes again? Very fair question. Dan and Cochran says, final start for Jacob. If rumors were true that he was willing to waive, I don't think that would have changed in these last few weeks or months. There seems to be a market for him. While he's been incredible for us, if you're able to get good value for him, then a retooling franchise needs to consider selling high a 34-year-old asset. Not all 30-plus players on this team would get adequate value to warrant trading them, but Markey, I believe, will. I would try to find another veteran goaltender, Jake Allen, to tandem with Wolf and figure out what to do with Vladar from there. Kevin says, hi, Pat. Hi, West. Did Salt Lake just enter the chat? They don't need salary retention. Fair question. Fair nomination. This reads, weird how the dialogues change from the trade deadline. Trading Markstrom in the offseason was the only answer. All the first round upsets about to come up, a GM will want to make a move and pay a lot for it. This says the catalyst to keeping or trading Markstrom, in my opinion, is what are the Flames next year? A rebuild would be trade Markstrom and get picks and youth for him. A retool means you need strength now between the pipes and you need him for the next 2 years. So kiss and make up. That comes from Bruce. This reads, would it not be prudent to keep Markstrom around for one more season to help guide Wolf in his inaugural efforts as being a full-time NHLer? Advantages, one, you maintain one of the best goalies in the league on your own team, and two, he'd likely be an expert teacher or mentor for Wolf. He can then be traded in his final year, and it turns out to be a win for Markstrom. It's still a win for the Flames, since he'll probably get a quality return for him. This says, at 960, just a few more on the Markstrom conversation. Conroy should have traded Markstrom at the deadline. Offer won't be better in the summertime. Jay and Garrison says, when the Leafs lose in the first round again, Markstrom goes there in July. Hi, West. See you in the morning.
7 a.m. hockey, baby.
Oh, is Jay part of the 7HL?
He can attest to my usual 0-0 minus 3 stat line.
Fair enough. This says Vegas will be over the cap before next season starts. Logan Thompson won't be an 800K goalie next year. Vegas sends Logan to the Flames. And finally, this reads, ship has sailed. Should have tried trading Markstrom before the Leafs signed Nylander. Markstrom and Tanev for Nylander, Nyes in a first-round pick. Don't know if that was ever really in the cards, but...
What? Run that one by me again?
No, okay. No, we don't have time to talk about theoretical trades right now.
Lots of good texts there.
A lot of good texts. Yeah. I wasn't sure how the text line was going to hit it on that one, and then it went crazy. So good stuff on the text line at 960-960. Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg, this hour of Flames Talk underway. Coming at you from our Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Wet basement? They have a lasting solution to keep your basement dry. If you experience any water in your basement, contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's Hockey Station. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Now for your Daily Flames Roundtable on this Tuesday edition of Flames Talk. It's brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Race into spring with a freshly cleaned car. Book one of the 32 service bays at MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca and they'll revitalize your exterior paint finish. It's Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson, now the voice of the Calgary Flames. Derek Wills joins us to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable on this Tuesday. So I started off by putting an eye towards the future. You know, the Flames are facing Vancouver on Tuesday night, and that is one of the teams that they've acquired prospects from this season in some of their trades for pending unrestricted free agents. And that's kind of the genesis of this question. One of the bigger name prospects the Flames have acquired came in the Elias Lindholm trade on January 31st when Hunter Brustevich of the Kitchener Rangers was brought back from the Flames, has subsequently been signed to his entry-level contract. I encourage you to go read the latest from Wes on your post-media sites. Good little feature on Brustevich. Chat with Craig Conroy in there and a chat with a couple of Hunter's coaches along his development road before getting to the Ontario Hockey League. And that's kind of the genesis of this question, gents. Who is Calgary's most interesting prospect? Maybe not top prospect. You can kind of, this opens it up for more interpretation and for, I think, more interesting discussion when I ask it this way. Who is Calgary's most interesting prospect right now in your eyes, excluding guys that are with the Flames right now?
Well, I'm probably going to steal your thunder or Wes's thunder, but I'm going to go with the guy you just talked about, Hunter Brustevich, because of the way you worded the question. If you had asked who the Flames' best prospect is, I probably would have gone in a different direction. But most interesting, I'm going to go with Brustevich. And, you know, another guy who I thought about because he suffered a significant injury this season, and I think it probably has hurt his development, at least short term, is Jeremy Poirier, who we have a bigger sample size on. He played 4 years of junior hockey and won a Memorial Cup with the St. John Sea Dogs and, you know, put up some pretty impressive numbers. And he's in his second professional season with the Calgary Wranglers. And I suspect if he had stayed healthy, he probably would have played in at least one, maybe more games with the Calgary Flames this season. But that hasn't happened, at least not yet. But when you look at his junior career, his career high for points in a season was 57. Brustevich had 57 last season. He has 92 this season. I mean, that is a lot of points for any player, let alone a defenseman in the Ontario Hockey League. And because the Flames are playing the Canucks, and he was one of the big pieces that came over in that Elias Lindholm trade, I think it's a fun direction to go in ahead of tonight's hockey game. But, you know, they're... are guys who I think you've got a pretty good read on as they turn pro. For me, Brustevich isn't one of those guys because I am anxious to see how his game translates from junior to pro. And if he spends some time in the AHL from that league to the best league in the world, the NHL, because I'm excited about him as a prospect, but there are still some questions for me about how his game will translate over time.
Yeah, I wrote in that feature today that Hunter Brustevich has, since arriving in the trade, quickly become the most exciting and the most intriguing prospect in the Flames pipeline. And so I suppose I better say he's the most interesting, too. And you know, I am really curious, guys, to see him play live. I you know, the numbers absolutely jump off the page. 79 assists for the Kitchener Rangers this year. That's the most assists of any player, not just a defenseman, the most assists of any player in the Ontario Hockey League. I believe he has six more so far in the OHL playoffs. In chatting with, you know, one of his former coaches in the U.S. national program, chatting with one of his former minor hockey coaches, like they talk about the poise, they talk about the patience, they talk about the puck moving abilities. And the other thing, and I didn't get too deep into it in what I wrote about today, but, you know, I was asking them as well, well, you know, tell me about the defensive part, because anytime, like literally anytime you get an offensive minded defenseman, you hear, wow, can't defend, needs to get better in his own zone. And you're going to hear those same things about Hunter Brustevich. And what both of those coaches said to me is, this is a guy who is fully bought in on being better defensively, who understands how important it is. As his former national program coach said, at that age, I don't necessarily always worry about how guys are at defending as much as I worry about whether they realize how important it is. And that wasn't a question ever with Brustevich. And so for me, he is the most interesting prospect, probably the second on my list, just because he's another guy I haven't had an opportunity to see live, as Idar Suniev just finished his freshman season at UMass. But for me, that billing absolutely goes right now to Brustevich.
Well, and so I'll go unanimous, because it's no question he's the guy for me. And I think he's the most exciting prospect, to agree with your the way that you characterized it in your feature on Tuesday. And also, like, if we take Coronado out of the conversation, and if we take Wolf out of the conversation, which I think is fair because they both are NHLers right now, and I think it would be a very large disappointment if they're not NHLers next season. So I kind of have graduated Coronado and Wolf from prospect to just guys who are young players on the Flames. Guys, I also, like, in my eyes, he's also the top prospect. Like, I look at it, and that's no disrespect to Sam Hanzek, who is their most recent first-round pick, but I look at Brustevich's potential high end and putting up numbers the way that he's putting them up in the Ontario Hockey League, which is no slouch hockey league. I can't sit here and make a real argument saying that there's even a guy that I would say would be ahead of him. As straight up, who's their top prospect? Who's their number one blue chipper? I am excited, intrigued, interested, and I just think that there's a real potential. The Flames have got themselves a potential important piece going forward. You know, is he Quinn Hughes? No, probably not. But is he a guy that can run your power play at the NHL level? Is he a guy that can give you everyday minutes and help your offense in a big, big way at the NHL level? Look, obviously we don't know, but I think that potential is there. And talking to enough people with the Flames, talking to enough people around hockey who see him and know him better than I do, you hear that same thing that, yeah, this guy translates to having some offensive, big-time offensive upside at the NHL level as well. So, guys, I think he hits all of my interpretations. Top, most interesting, most exciting, so on and so forth. I'm quite excited about the way this is going to play out for Brustevich, who turns pro next season.
Yeah, I mean, if you eliminate Matt Coronato and Dustin Wolf, I think you can make a pretty strong case that Hunter Brustevich is the Flames' top prospect. And that's with all due respect to Jeremy Poirier, who I talked about, and Sam Hanzak, who you talked about. And you know, both of those guys are still really intriguing for me because injuries hurt their development this season. You know, Poirier had that freak injury, and when you look at his numbers, they're good, but I was probably expecting better coming off of what was a really good rookie season with the Wranglers. He's got three goals and 13 points in 21 AHL games this season, and I think you can say the same about Sam Hanzek, who has 10 goals and 31 points in 33 games as the captain of the Vancouver Giants. So when those guys are able to get away from the game and get back to 100% during the offseason, I feel like they're both going to hit the ground running when training camp starts. And I don't think that Hanzek did that. And again, it's been kind of a roller coaster ride for Poirier this season. But yeah, Brustevich has had a great season. Anxious to see how far he can take the Rangers in the OHL playoffs. And a pretty exciting prospect that came over in that trade. And boy, the more you look at that trade that the Flames made with the Canucks, you could argue Andre Kuzmenko has been more impactful for the Flames than Elias Lindholm has been for the Canucks, although that can definitely change with what happens in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then you get Hunter Brustevich, you get a first-round pick, you get another pick at a prospect. That trade's looking better by the day, I'll say.
Guys, I'll just add one more descriptor, and I think this sort of goes hand-in-hand with what you've both been saying. You know, when I look at Hunter Brustevich, I think what makes him so fascinating to me is he is the highest upside prospect the Flames have.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Are there guys in the system who you think can help in various roles as pros? Absolutely. But what makes Brustevich so interesting is, like, if you look at the points, like even just the assists, 79 assists this season. If you go back and look at, you know, Rasmus Anderson's first season in the OHL or his first season after being drafted in the OHL, he was around a point per game guy. And look what he's turned into. And we're not comparing apples to apples there, but that's when you start to really get excited about the potential that Brustevich might have, is when you look and say, man, there were pretty good players who didn't come close to these numbers. And look at them now. And I just think that patience that he's shown, that poise, which is a word that if you read my feature, you're going to see about a gazillion times. And the ability to make that first pass is going to open up his opportunity to sort of maximize that offensive potential. Yeah. And that's why I'm, you know, going to be so interested to see where this thing goes for a guy who's only 19 years old and not by very much and has some motivation, got snubbed from the U.S. World Junior team. Listen to everyone in Vancouver say, oh, look, we got Elias Lindholm without giving up a top prospect. Like, this is a kid who's not lacking despite the gaudy stats, not lacking motivation to prove some people wrong. And I just think all of that creates such a fascinating package.
By the way, he is a 2004 draft, 2004 birth year, which makes him a, which makes him eligible for pro hockey next year. Next year's his overage season in junior hockey or his 20-year-old season. So that is important to point out. It's our Daily Flames Roundtable. Derek Wills, Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg on this Tuesday. So Flames in Vancouver, final road game of the regular season Tuesday night, taking on one of the four Pacific Division playoff teams, the other three, Edmonton, Los Angeles, and Vegas. So gents, of those four playoff teams in this division, who is the toughest out as the Stanley Cup playoffs start Saturday night? Oof.
Tough question.
That's all I do, Willsy.
Yeah.
Call me Larry King. Or
hey, Willsy.
Charlie Rose.
You won't be surprised to hear this, but it's not his question.
Yeah, this is all Wes.
Oh, good question, Wes.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Would have been just a tough question for Pat, but a good question for you. Talking guys got to stick together. I'm going to go ahead and eliminate the Kings with all due respect. They've had a really good season. They're 3 points away from 100, but they just don't scare me. So I'll make it a three-horse race between the defending champion Golden Knights, the Oilers, and the division-leading Canucks. But I've got questions about all three teams. My question for the Canucks and the Oilers is, what kind of goaltending are they going to get? You know, Thatcher Demko is going to make his much-anticipated debut to the Canucks net tonight, but is he going to be able to pick up where he left off? I think he was a pretty strong contender for the Vezina Trophy before getting hurt. Even though he's missed the last 14 games with a lower body injury, you know, still tied for seventh in the NHL in wins, tied for fifth in shutouts, tied for sixth in goals against average, and tied for fourth in save percentage. He's had an outstanding season. Does he have time to return to form? So that's my big question mark with the Canucks, because I love their group of forwards, and I think they're way better on defense than they've been in quite some time. Similar question with the Oilers. Can Stuart Skinner lead them to the promised land, or can he just be good enough to allow their top players to take them there? Obviously, the Oilers have some of the best players in the world on their roster, and I think are better on the blue line now than they've been in a long, long time. And when you've got world-class players like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, they can win games for you. They can win series for you. We saw that in the second round of the 2022 Stanley Cup playoffs, but I still have questions when it comes to their goaltending. I don't have questions when it comes to the Golden Knights goaltending, because Adin Hill's been there and done that. But I've got questions when it comes to their captain. And I think to the surprise of absolutely nobody, it looks like Mark Stone's going to play in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But how close is he to 100%? When is he going to start to play again? Will it be in game one of round one, or are they going to have to wait a little while? So if you hold my feet to the fire, and I know that there probably will be some people who don't like my answer to that question, given the market that we're broadcasting in, but it kind of feels like the Oilers are ready to make a deep run. And if they can get average to above average goaltending, I think they've got the horses at forward and on defense to do it.
I hope when this gets posted as a podcast that we bleep out my entire answer, so I won't have
you're not going to say the same
hear
thing,
about it from people. But
you guys are going to make me puke.
The more I thought about this, oh God, I got a bad taste in my mouth as I get ready to say the words. Even as I thought about it, I think it's the guys up the road in Edmonton. And the only question I have about the Canucks is, or maybe this is put a better way in what swayed me to say the Oilers, is that I do think some of the kind of scars can pay off in the playoffs. And this Canucks team has reminded me of a couple past iterations of the Flames in the sense of a team that kind of rocketed to the top of their division or near it, but doesn't have a whole ton of recent playoff experience as they go into it. And while I don't think that necessarily makes them ripe for the picking, it does sway me to say I think Oh God, I don't even. Can someone else start? It's Edmonton, and I hate it.
I just can't do it. I will not go unanimous with you. I refuse. But it's not even that. I think we all understand the Oilers have a great chance at going deep here, and we all understand what Vegas is all about. But when I look at what I think wins a playoff series, it's depth down the middle, it's goaltending, it's having an elite defenseman, and the Vancouver Canucks check all those boxes. I think Rick Tocchet, and this only makes me puke a little bit less than saying Edmonton.
So I was gonna say,
let me
come on.
Please.
You're still vomiting in your mouth.
Exactly. Let me please point that out. But I honestly think, like, Vancouver is the team that I think scares me the most of the four. And we're probably all discounting the defending Stanley Cup champions, which is silly at our own peril, because I actually think, like, Vancouver is in a spot where they can lock themselves into Nashville if Dallas gets, I think, another point. One more point for the Stars, and Vancouver's locked into the two seed, especially if they pick up a point or win tonight. So, you know, the Canucks are very likely playing the Predators in round number one, and I they're a significantly better team than Nashville is. When you can throw, I know that we're all like, oh, Kuzmenko. I don't know if anybody saw that game Saturday that the Oilers and Canucks played, but Elias Lindholm put on a masterclass of how to shut down their number one center. McDavid didn't play, so it was Draisaitl, and Lindholm took him to the woodshed. And that was a game that had stakes. That was a game that had number one seed implications in the Pacific. And, you know, the Oilers did a lot of good things in that game, but it was their depth. It wasn't Draisaitl. And Lindholm, his line with Dakota Joshua and Connor Garland did an incredible job. Lindholm's missed 7 games. He's been back for 2. He's looking a whole lot healthier now. When you can throw Lindholm, JT Miller, who's a triple-digit guy for a second straight year, and Elias Pettersson 1-2-3 in whatever order you want to throw Pettersson and Miller at me, I just that scares me. And then you have Quinn Hughes, who has put himself into the perennial Norris Trophy conversation, and Thatcher Demko, who I think this rest is going to do wonders for him. The Canucks are extremely optimistic that him taking this time off is going to be exactly what he needs to be rested and where he needs to be come postseason time. I actually think especially if they draw Nashville in round one, I actually think Vancouver's the team that scares me the most, guys.
Yeah, I still wonder about Thatcher Demko. I mean, missing 14 games late in the season doesn't put him in a great spot. And, you know, maybe he has enough time to get his A game back between now and the start of the playoffs or fairly early in the playoffs. But I do wonder about that. And then Wes makes a really good point. Yeah, they've got some players with playoff experience, but as a group, they don't have a ton of it. And that's not something you can say about the other two teams that we're talking about. Obviously, the Golden Knights have been to a final, 2 finals, and they won a Stanley Cup. And even the Oilers, I know that they haven't won at all, but they've gone fairly far in the playoffs with their current core. So I do think that they've got some scars that the Canucks don't have. And believe me, I'm not counting out the Golden Knights, especially with a healthy Mark Stone. They had Noah Hanifin, who was the best defenseman available, approaching the NHL's trade deadline. They were already good on the blue line. They're even better with the former Flame back there. And for me, there's not a lot to choose between the three teams, but I've got questions when it comes to all three teams. And if you start to look at matchups, I mean, you could argue the Canucks have, and I'm using quotation marks, air quotes here, an easy first-round matchup versus the Predators, but the way the Predators have played to get in, I'm not sure how easy that's actually going to be. And they've got a goaltender in UC Saros who can certainly steal a game. But I would actually argue the Oilers have an easier first-round matchup against the Kings, a team they've eliminated.
What if they play Vegas,
in back-to-back
though?
Seasons.
What if they play Vegas?
Well, if they play Vegas, that's obviously a little bit trickier. And that might not go their way. But if they get the Kings, I certainly like the Oilers to get to the second round. And that's one out of the four series you've got to win.
I, I think what makes this such an interesting debate, whether it's on the round table or, you know, around a round table somewhere that sells beverages, I think what makes it such a great debate is any of those three, especially of Vancouver, Edmonton, Vegas, if they were the last standing from the Pacific, I don't think any of us would be surprised.
Agreed.
Like, that's why I'm so excited to watch these 24 Stanley Cup playoffs, because I just think there are going to be some real doozy series right from start to finish.
And just quickly, from a Flames standpoint, you want Vegas to get into that that number three seed in the Pacific so that they don't play Dallas or Vancouver. So if you want all of the conditions to hit, Vegas needs to be the three seed in the Pacific and play Edmonton. If Vegas is one of the wild card teams, then that immediately means the Flames won't hit all their conditions from the trades made this year. So keep that in mind as a Flames fan as we move towards these playoff matchups as well. Plus, I think we can all agree Vegas is a tougher out for Edmonton. So that would just be a nice little byproduct of the whole thing. See you in a little bit, Winsie. Wilsie, great stuff today. That was great.
Okay, guys. See you soon.
He's Derek Wills. He is Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up this hour. Thanks to Shan and Cam, our producers this hour. And your Daily Flames Roundtable is brought to you, as always, by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Race into spring with a freshly clean car. Book one of the 32 service bays at MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca, and they'll revitalize your exterior paint finish.